Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for our choir, and as they practice and sing to us, it is a blessing, Lord. And you tell us to be filled with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, because when bad things happen to us, Lord, if we've got good positive music and good positive promises and encouragement through music, Lord, then those things won't be so bad. We thank you for music, and we thank you through music we can be reminded of your love and your control, and Lord and Jesus, how much you have done to shed your blood and pay for our sin on the cross. And we thank you for good music, Lord. We do thank you for those that are not able to come. We pray you'd meet with them in a special way, and the Cherries and Smitty, and or Miss Cherry and Smitty, and for Charlie and Gladys, we pray you'd bless them. And we thank you, Lord, that folks are doing better, that have been sick, and we pray for those that have upcoming appointments that you would bless them, Lord. And we think of Ruth Ann's daughter-in-law, that you would bless her, Lord. Help her, help them to figure out what's causing her problems, and that they'd be able to help her, Lord. And, Lord, we thank you for our military. We pray for our president, that you would help him, Lord, to be reminded that you do love him and that not everybody hates him. And we thank you for this country, and we pray that you would help this country to continue to send out missionaries, Lord, and that you would bless our missionaries all over the world that we support with such a large part of our budget. We thank you for that. And bless our church, Lord, and bless our service now, and dismiss us when we're done with your love. And we pray that tonight people would sign up for the fifth Sunday and share a poem or a song or a testimony, and that some people that don't come on Sunday nights normally would come tonight. So, because Lord, we know we're all priests. We're all saved. If we're saved, we're priests, and we have a message, Lord, to encourage somebody. So Lord, help us tonight to come and to share a message that's on our heart, Lord, in the way that you blessed us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
On the cross of Calvary, our blessed Savior died, gave his life to save the world from law. In his pain and agony, for every sin to hide, shed the blood that stained the old rugged cross. Was his blood, his precious blood, that stained the old rugged cross? Was his love that paid the awful cost? Oh, soul so far away, come and plunge today in the blood that stained the old rugged cross. To the cross, they nailed his precious hands, and in death he fully paid the cost. There is pardon in his love for everyone that stands, for the blood to stain the old rugged cross. Oh, the cruel death he died, pardon you and me. All alone in agony he tossed, and a world that's lost in sin can now be wholly free by the blood that stained the old rugged cross. Was his blood, his precious blood, that stained the old rugged cross? Was his love that paid the awful cost? Oh, soul so far away, come and plunge today in the blood that stained the old rugged cross.
I say you always have to spank. I just say it's good sometimes to spank, isn't it? Because That gets their attention. And you should never do it in anger, should you? You guys know how many references there are in Proverbs to spanking children? Does anybody know? Anywhere between 9 and 11. 9 and 11 references. All right, so let's look here at 1 Thessalonians. And we are going to pick up where we left off. And today I want to bring a sermon to you about comforting Christians. Comforting Christians. And we see that this is a huge emphasis in the Word of God as we progress in human history. Hebrews 10:25 says, so much the more, comfort one another, encourage one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, what is the day that he's talking about? It's the last days, isn't it? Where culture is getting more and more anti-God, and Christians are being more and more persecuted for our faith. And I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing that we as Christians suffer more than any other minority, right? We do. We suffer more than any other minority in America. Christian, I'm talking about Bible-believing Christians. We've been persecuted. I was talking to a guy recently about the VA and how they basically banned independent Bible-believing Christians from serving as chaplains. And we had to complain about it. I think Trump kind of got after him over that. And now they're letting independent, not just talking about Baptists, but Bible-believing, you know, Christian chaplains in the VA. It had gotten so liberal, the VA had gotten so liberal that they weren't allowing any conservative Bible-believing chaplains in there. Isn't that terrible? But now if you talk about people getting persecuted and discriminated against, it's never the Christians, is it? They want to put all this stuff in their textbooks about gay people or whoever. Well, how about a chapter about Christians? Amen? Christians have contributed more to America than any other group of people in the history of this country. As far as talking about economic development and just charity and science, scientific achievement has come primarily through Christian people. And so we're thankful for Christians. So what he's saying is as we progress, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, there's going to be more and more and more negativity and discrimination against Christians. And how do we comfort people? And he's going to give us four things that we can do or say to comfort believers when they're feeling discouraged and feeling down. And let's face it, we all get discouraged, don't we? Satan is, he never gives up, does he? So how do we encourage our brothers and our sisters in Christ? Now notice what he says here, verse 18 of chapter 4, comfort one another with these words, okay? Now look at verse 11 of chapter 5. What does it say? Therefore what? Comfort each other and edify one another. And everything in between these two verses is about how to comfort people. These are like the bookends of a whole section. And really preceding that, verse 18 of chapter 4, he's talking about comforting people because we're going to resurrect from the dead. And Christ is going to win. And he's coming back to earth. And sometimes you feel like you're in the fourth quarter of a football game and you're down 35 points when you look at all the evil in this world, right? But here's the thing. Even though we're down, we're going to win. We're going to win. It might look like we're going to lose, and it's going to look worse and worse. But Jesus is coming back, amen? Jesus is going to make everything right. He's going to slay the wicked, and he's going to shut down the abortion clinics, amen? And he's going to reward his saints. And he's going to give us a new body. And that's a big way that we need to comfort people, according to this passage, is to remind them of the resurrection, not just of the saints, but of a new body. The dead in Christ shall rise. And we're going to have that new body, verse 16. And there won't be any more pain. There won't be any more suffering. And it'll be better than the body that Adam and Eve had. Because the body that Adam and Eve had could not pass through walls. It could not go into outer space without dying. I'm talking about Adam and Eve's body. It was better than our body today because Adam and Eve's body healed itself, amen. Every cell in your body heals itself. Isn't that right, Courtney? Every cell in your body heals itself. It's genetically programmed to heal itself, genetically. But when Adam and Eve fell into sin, the genes in your cells basically became not totally corrupted, but they became what's called chromosome anomalies. So now the DNA code's been messed up because of Adam and Eve's sin, so that our bodies don't constantly heal themselves, or we would live forever, right? And why is that? Because not because God doesn't love us, is it? It's because we sinned, didn't we? We sinned in Adam, and we sin ourselves, and so corruption enters into the gene pool, the DNA, and our bodies eventually die because of these anomalies. We eventually die. But you know what? When we get our new body, we're going to get a body better than Adam and Eve had. Jesus said in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, that we have this hope and it purifies us, that our body, that we are going to be like Christ when he rose from the dead. We shall see him as he is, and we're going to be like him. Meaning that we're going to be able to eat, we're going to be able to go to the Chinese buffet, amen, but we're still going to be able to fly. We're going to be able to fly. And thank God for the Chinese buffet. But listen, we're going to have all these blessings in our lives. Our bodies will have no more pain, no more rheumatoid arthritis, and we need to encourage people with those things. No more asthma, amen? We're going to have perfect lungs. You know, Christian people get discouraged when they get sick. And what do you need to tell them? Well, just toughen up. Right? Just toughen up. Be tough. You're a Midwesterner. No. You're going to get a new body, amen? So that's one of the things that he focuses on, and we need to be telling people about this new body. Now, another thing that he says here in verses 1 and 2, notice what he says, concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that, notice this, the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Now, why would he call it the day of the Lord? Because what we're living in now is the day of man. And Jesus talked about the Gentiles and talked about how this world was controlled by, really, ultimately, him. But indirectly, he's allowing the prince of darkness to control this world. Jesus talked about that. That we're living in a dark age. And what he's saying is that things are going to get better. I know that might seem like things are getting worse. But we need to remind people that don't be discouraged by all the evil in this world. God said that dangerous times are going to come. And if evil didn't happen, you know what that would mean? That would mean God's word is not true, right? So we don't need to be discouraged when we see evil, because God said it would be so. In the last day, 2 Timothy chapter 3, dangerous times are going to come. Men shall be lovers of themselves, proud, boasters, arrogant, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, incontinence, fierce. Hey, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You all know Christians like that, right? They say they're Christians, and they say that they love God, and yet, you know, their lives are completely, and their children's lives are completely out of the will of God. They got a form of godliness, but they deny Jesus Christ as Lord of their life, don't they? So what is he saying? Don't be discouraged. God said it would happen. God said that this would happen. So we need to remind people that God is still on his throne. No matter what you hear about in Washington, D.C., no matter what you hear about in just the facts and all the arrests, no matter what some of your crazy family members say to you, God is still on the throne. Amen? I'm not going to get discouraged, and I'm not going to get hateful with all the evil in this world. You know, that's what Satan wants to do. Satan wants to bring up evil so much that we forget what our problem is. Our problem in America is not that one party's right and one party's wrong. It's not. Our problem in America is that we're all sinners and we all need to repent. You hear me? You listen to me real good. If you think you're right and everybody else is wrong, you're an arrogant person. We're all sinners, amen? And that's the problem. And Jesus didn't say when he came to earth, half the people are right and half of them are wrong. Jesus said everybody, everywhere needs to repent. That's what Jesus said. You go read your Bible and stop watching so much Fox News and you might have a good attitude. What am I saying, folks? We don't need to be hateful and negative. God's got this thing. God's in control. He's going to allow Satan to have power. And notice what it says here in verse 3. For when they shall say peace and safety, notice what they say. This is the fake news. Trump didn't come up with the fake news. God said there'd be fake news, amen? God said that. And there's going to be more fake news. There's going to be more fake news. You watch. There's going to be more and more and more fake news in the world. And these bad, ungodly preachers, their churches are going to keep growing. You watch. They're ungodly preachers, and that's why their churches are growing, a lot of them. Because people like fake news when they're sinning, don't they? They don't want their sin to be exposed. Peace and safety, that's what the fake news says. And everybody's going to be saying, hey, we're all at peace, there's safety, and meanwhile they're killing millions and millions of babies, right? That doesn't sound too peaceful to me, does it, you? They shall say peace and safety, and then sudden destruction shall come upon them as a woman in labor pains, that's pregnant, and they shall not escape. What's he saying? Be comforted to know that God's going to judge the wicked. They're not going to get by with it. They're not going to get by with their sin. They might flourish right now, right? They might be making millions of dollars off the Ukraine right now. You think God's going to let them by with that stuff? Absolutely not. He's not going to let them by with it. You know, we need to be comforted to know that God is just and people are going to be sent to hell. And thank God that we're saved. Thank God that we know Jesus Christ. And so we need to comfort people these days. We don't need to join in and just constantly complain with them. We need to comfort them. Folks, I hate sin too, but you know what? God's got this thing. And he said, look over here in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. Brethren, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask, chapter 2, verse 2 of 2 Thessalonians, 2:2:2. You got that? 2 Thessalonians 2:2. 2:2:2. Notice what he says. Don't be shaken or what? Don't be so upset all the time. Don't be so troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as the tribulation had come. That's the day of the Lord. It's a tribulation period. Let no one deceive you, for that day will not come first, except there's a falling away. What's he saying? The church is going to stop preaching the Bible. That's what he's saying. The church is going to stop preaching the Bible. And you all know, you go to most churches today, they are not using the Word of God, folks. I'm talking about in Hoopston, Illinois. Now, they might sing a lot. They might, you know, chant or repeat something or whatever. But it's always a shorter sermon, isn't it? And the carnal people in the churches, they don't want long sermons. They don't want long preaching because they just want to be left alone. They don't want to be bothered. They don't want to have a preacher get after them because they're carnal, aren't they? And that's what he's saying. This is telling us that we don't need to be discouraged because that's what God says is going to happen. It's happening. And you know what? I'm encouraged by it. I am greatly encouraged by it because it shows that, hey, the Antichrist is right around the corner. The Antichrist is going to come, the son of perdition, and God's got this thing. He's going to change the calendar, and he's going to try to bring a one-world government. And, you know, hey, it's okay. And look at verse chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. Now, you know that this restraining may be revealed in his own time. Look at verse 7. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. What is he saying? He's not saying we've got to get to the tribulation and then everything is going to fall apart. He's saying it's going to start falling apart before the tribulation. People are going to be, you know, they're going to be wanting their ears tickled and they're going to want to tell the God-fearing preacher to shut up way before the tribulation. Right? Because they worship their labor unions and they send money to D.C., and it's all about the economy. That's what they vote for. So don't worry about it. It's all part of God's plan. Thank God the Antichrist is coming so he can be thrown into the lake of fire. Thank God that these things are happening. Now, I'm not saying I'm glad that evil's happening. I'm saying I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about it. Folks, let there be a revolution. Not going to bother me if there's a revolution, right? And they try to take my guns, they'll have a little revolution right here in Hoopston. But here's the thing. I'm not going to get overly worried about it, okay? I was going to the bathroom right before my surgery. And you know how as you get older, you got to go to the bathroom a lot in the middle of the night, right? I was coming back from the bathroom, and here it was, 2 o'clock in the morning, right before my surgery, and all I had is one thing in my mind, get back in bed. And my dog usually sleeps in the closet. Have you ever seen my dog? Her name is Lily Taco. She sleeps in the closet, but for some reason, she's sleeping at the end of my bed, on the floor, at the end of my bed. I don't usually let her in bed with me. I just, you know, got to draw a line somewhere. Well, I'm coming back from the bathroom, and I was going fast, and I accidentally kicked my dog. I didn't even see her. It was pitch dark. Didn't even see her. And I thought, what have I done? And I looked down, and she was still rolling. She rolled. That dog rolled about 2 or 3 times before it stopped. And I thought, man, I love that dog. I looked down, and I petted her, you know. I said, are you okay, Lily? I'm so sorry. You know, but her fat belly saved her, didn't it? If she wouldn't have been so fat, if my dog wouldn't have been so fat, my dog would have had a broken rib. I'm serious. And we got to keep that in mind, you know. Sometimes we think, oh, this is terrible, this is terrible, it's terrible, it's terrible. Folks, God's got this. All things work together for good to them that love God. Do you believe that? In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You say everything? I said everything. Be thankful you got a fat dog because it saved their life. Amen. And folks, God makes no mistakes. And I petted her a little while. She started wagging her tail. She was fine. She was fine. And I apologized to her. And I might even send a $2 bill to PETA. I don't know. But God's got this, doesn't he? And that's what we need to be telling people. Now, I'm not saying don't vote. I'm not saying don't speak out against sin. I'm just saying, folks, the Lord Jesus Christ is our rock. Didn't he say that? He's our rock forever and ever. And on this rock, I'll build my church. That's my profession in Christ, that he's my rock. I'm not trusting in America. I'm trusting in Jesus Christ. Hey, we need to get people back to trusting in Jesus Christ. Not trusting in what their bank says, not trusting in what the government says, trusting in Jesus Christ. And I know that we all struggle with that, but let's remind people, God loves the world. He's just waiting because he's patient, isn't he? But he loves everybody. He don't want anybody to perish. And that's why he's allowed this to go on so long. Now, what's another thing we tell people when they get discouraged because of all the evil in this world? Well, what does he say? He says here, verse 5, but you, brethren, are not in darkness. Okay. We need to explain the tribulation. Excuse me for the not changing the slide, Chris. Thank you. Chris does a great job, but if I don't ever use it, then he probably feels like he's not helping me much. Remind them that we're living in the last days. God promised that it would get bad. Don't get so upset over it. All right, now, look at this one right here. We need to remember, and we need to remind people, we have a calling of God on our life. And that calling of God is such a encouraging thing. We're all called, maybe not to preach, right? But we're all called to witness and to be loved and to be a light. And that's what this says right here. He says, we are of the day. We're not in darkness. We are the sons or the children of what? Of light. Isn't that a blessing? He's saying that, you know what? Everybody's trying to say, if you got a beautiful wife and $1 million house and a $50,000 car, then you're going to feel good. And what he's saying is, no, we don't need any of that. Light warms us. The Holy Spirit of God encourages us. Jesus loves me. I'm his child. I'm royalty. Amen. Sometimes we beat ourselves up too much when we make a mistake, don't we? We all do that. We make a mistake. Oh, why did I do that? And I'm no good. You know what? God's already forgotten about that. If you've confessed it, he already forgot about it. Don't remind yourself of sins that you've committed if you've asked forgiveness for them, right? Don't remind yourself about it. Don't sit here and say, oh, why did I do that? You know, that was so stupid of me. Hey, if you've confessed it, don't worry about it. God's already forgot about it, hasn't he? You are a child of God. You have a purpose that is eternal. It's eternal. So it doesn't matter how much money everybody has or what kind of car they have or that they got perfect health, right? Don't compare yourself to other people. Doesn't matter. What matters is you're laying up treasure in heaven right now forever, and you're going to be blessed one day when you get to heaven. And you're already blessed. You're already getting your prayers answered, aren't you? You know, isn't that better than having a bunch of stuff, getting your prayers answered? What a blessing that we get our prayers answered. Now, we don't get them all answered all the time, or we'd be God, right? But we get a lot of them answered. And the more we pray, the more prayers we get answered. What a blessing that we get our prayers answered. I mean, we are so blessed as Christians, and we need to remind people that are saved that, you know, hey, you're saved. You are God's child. You have a purpose. You have your a one-way connection to God. And it's so important that we encourage each other. When I pray throughout the day, I praise the Lord for each one of you guys. Each one of you guys. I'm talking about every one of you guys I praise the Lord for. You know? Now, I don't praise the Lord today if Dave's team beats my team. I'm for the Titans. Are they playing the Titans, Parker? Oh, okay. Well, go Chiefs then. All right. I might not agree with everybody. You know what I'm saying? I might not agree with everybody. I love the Chiefs. But I might not agree with it. But I praise the Lord for each one of you guys because I see God working in different ways and at different levels in your Christian life. Some of you guys have only been saved 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. Some of you guys have only been saved a year. Some of y'all have been saved 50 years. But Jesus said, feed my lambs and feed my sheep, didn't he? What a blessing. So you guys wonder what I do. I praise the Lord for you. Every day I do that. Every day. Now, I don't necessarily praise the Lord 5 times a day for Jimmy, but I praise the Lord for Jimmy every single week. What a wonderful prayer he prayed. You know? And we have this connection as Christians, don't we? That we really do love and care for other Christians if we're Spirit-filled, right? If we're not watching the Playboy channel, if you have that, get rid of it. I'm talking about if you're Spirit-filled, really Spirit-filled, then you really have a love. And where's that love come from? It comes from Jesus Christ, doesn't it? Jesus saves us, he forgives us, and then he puts a love in our heart as we confess our sins, and that love just grows greater. And as that love grows greater, we have more joy, we have more peace. You know what? If you've been saved like me for, you know, 25 years, okay, if you've been saved 50 years, it ought to be more peace, more joy. Why? Because you have more love. You have a closer connection to Jesus Christ. And you just grow more and more and more in contentment and in joy and in peace and in truth. Because the Word of God is truth, amen? And in mercy. What a blessing that we have this wonderful calling. Now, have you ever driven through a sequoia tree before? In California, you can drive a car through a sequoia tree. I'm not talking about a Pinto. I'm talking about a car. I'm not talking about a Japanese or Chinese car. I'm talking about a Tahoe, a big car, right? Something Ryan Johnson would drive. You can drive one of them through a tree out there. These trees are 300 foot tall. They're a type of redwood tree, but the root system, listen, it's only 12 feet deep. You say, how in the world can a 300 foot tree that you can drive your car through only have a 12 foot root system? I'll tell you why. Because God placed those trees and their roots are an acre wide. But you know what? They're intertwining with every other tree that's around them. And usually they grow the tallest where they're intertwined in a grove of other trees. What is that saying? The root system of those trees is strong because they're intertwined with other trees that are around them. And what does God say in his word? We as Christians, we need to be intertwined and connected with other Christians that are Spirit-filled Christians. Now, that last part I said is very important because there's a lot of Christians these days that are not Spirit-filled, folks. I'm not saying I'm perfectly Spirit-filled. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying there's a lot of Christians these days that don't listen to the preacher that's preaching the word, and all they want to do is make money and just worship their children. Amen. They're not spirit-filled Christians. You want Christians in your life that are truly not perfect, but in the word and humble and submissive one to another. If you're spirit-filled, you're going to be submitting one to another. Amen. And the more you're intertwined with those type Christians, I'm not talking about just carnal Christians. I'm talking about truly spirit-filled Christians. The more that you're intertwined with them and praying with them and spending time with them and talking, the more you can grow, because the more encouragement you have in your life. That's why it's so important to be connected to a local church. You know, don't be the type Lone Ranger Christian that says church not important. That's crazy, isn't it? Because if you're not connected to a local church that's preaching the word, you're going to have friends, aren't you? Everybody's got friends, but they're going to be a bunch of wackos. Now, you think you can grow being all intertwined with a bunch of wackos? I'm preaching to somebody today. I'm not saying don't love the wackos. Love the wackos. But you can't grow if you're not intertwined and around other spirit-filled Christians. Right? So that's what he's saying. We need to encourage each other, pray for each other, praise the Lord for each other, and just try to comfort each other, because we all get discouraged, all of us. And you know, if you're discouraged today, don't say, well, I'm not going to tell anybody I'm discouraged. No, tell us. Tell your mom, tell your dad, tell your brother, tell your sister. Tell somebody that you know loves God that you need prayer. You need to talk to somebody. Amen. And so many of you do such a good job doing that. You all encourage each other. And since I've been pastor here, the relationships in this church have gotten so much better. We no longer have a church with three different cliques. We got one church, amen? We know it was the case when I came. There was people that did not talk to other people. It was. It's sad. But now we got one church. Now, if you're aware of a clique that I'm not aware of, then I'm sorry, but I'm not aware of it. But thank God we don't have that at our church. We don't. We don't have long-standing grudges. You know, long-standing grudges create cliques, don't they? We don't have that. I mean, we have a loving, healthy church. Thank God. I didn't do it. Jesus did it. Jesus gave people good relationships. And that's such a blessing, isn't it? Such a blessing. So encourage each other by these things. Remind people you are a child of God. God has a purpose for you. You are not deceived. Isn't that a blessing? That we're not deceived like so many people are deceived. Therefore, he says, compare it to people that are drunk. Don't be like the drunks. They wander around. They just go by how they feel all the time. Don't be like those that are asleep. Don't be like those, verse 7. Let us be sober, verse 8. Let's have faith and love. What is he saying? Don't be the kind of person that just goes by how you feel, right? That's what drunk people do. Well, I just got to feel better, so I'm going to drink so I can feel better. No. I'm going to sleep all the time because I just feel like sleeping. No. Now, what is he saying? 5 years ago, I had a birthday. About 5 years ago, I was 40 years old. And it was my birthday, and somebody's child fell into a swimming pool and was on life support. They got up in the middle of the night. This is why my wife will never let me have a swimming pool. They got up in the middle of the night, and they wandered outside, and they fell into a pool. And y'all, some of y'all know who I'm talking about. And I'm not blaming anybody for it. I'm just saying it happened, right? I don't think it was anybody's fault. It just happened. They got up out of bed. They went outside. Everybody else is asleep. This three-year-old little boy, I think he was three, he fell into the pool, and they found him, and they took him to Champaign. It was my birthday. I got a call. I went over there, folks, and I could not stop crying. I could not stop. You ever had a time in your life where you just can't stop crying? So I had this terrible headache after crying for like 2 hours, and I left the hospital in Champaign, and I went through the drive-through. And I thought, well, I'll buy me a milkshake or something. Maybe it'll get rid of this headache. And a lightning bolt just about killed me on my birthday. On my birthday. And I'm thinking to myself, Lord, it's my birthday. What are you doing? But did you know that no matter what happens to you in this life, you cannot focus on your circumstances? Now, I'm not saying don't learn from your circumstances, because God said in all your ways, do what? Acknowledge Him, right? Proverbs 3. But it didn't say in all your ways, focus on your ways, did it? Didn't say in all your ways, focus on your ways. It said in all your ways, acknowledge God. There's something I can learn from circumstances, but where am I supposed to focus? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Right here is where I'm supposed to focus. And we've got people today that they're like drunks because everything in their life is about, you know, this child or this job promotion or this cancer problem or this, you know, whatever, their dog or whatever. You know, folks, don't be like that. I'm not saying don't be sensitive. Don't be sensitive, but listen. We know that what is true because of this book right here. Stay in the Word. Read your Bible every single day. Read your Bible. Otherwise, you're going to be like a drunk. You're going to be deceived. You're not going to be sober-minded, right? And that's what we need to tell people. Don't be led by how you feel. Be led by the Word of God. And if we'll do that, we'll have healthy relationships with people. We'll have, you know, we'll be encouragement to people. And we need to remind them that faith, as it says, a breastplate, is not our trust in how we feel. It's not. Faith does not mean you trust in how you feel. Faith means you trust in what God says. And you wear that as a breastplate, and you'll be successful no matter where you go from Satan's fiery darts. And you know he's going to shoot more darts at you this week than he did last week because you came to church this week. He hates it when you come to church, doesn't he? Satan hates it when you come to church. Satan hates it when you pray. It makes him cower in fear when you pray. And he's going to shoot more darts at you if you pray and read your Bible. But you just keep in God's will, folks, and keep focused on Him because you're a child of light. You're not a child of darkness. And you got the love of God warming you and the light of God as a light to your path and to the path of other people that I'm never going to meet, but you meet them, and God's got you as a missionary in your workplace, doesn't He? God's got you as a missionary in your family. And you know your own family members need encouragement, amen? Everybody needs encouragement. You are a child of light. You have a calling. You have a commission. You don't need to go to Bible school. You've already got a commission. Jesus gave you a commission when you got saved. Go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, and encourage other believers. And you know what? The more you encourage others, the more you encourage others, the more love and comfort you'll feel yourself. Charlie, I didn't even know you were here today, brother. Thanks for coming today. Charlie, I love you, brother. You guys know how sweet and kind Charlie is. Man, I thought he was in that, I thought you'd done checked out into that retirement home. What's that? Oh, yeah. Charlie was saved when he was a little bit older than some people, and that's made him more thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks, God can use anything, can't He? God can use your past. You say, no, Pastor, you don't know my past. God can use your past, can He? Folks, if you've been divorced, He can use you like somebody that hadn't been divorced. I'm not saying next time your wife burns a toast, get a divorce, am I? No. But I'm just saying all things work together for good, don't they? We are children of light. And you guys are such an encouragement to me. I tell you, we got a good church. You know Satan wants to destroy this church. Because we're one of the few churches in this area that really focuses on Scripture. Don't let him do it. Encourage each other. Stay in the will of God, right? Remember who you are, your identity in Christ. And there's just four C's. I'm not going to talk about the last one until next week. But I'll introduce it. You need to be encouraged and comforted because Christ died for you. Christ died for you. Christ loves you. You say, Pastor, my dog don't even love me. Well, Jesus does. Jesus loves you. My cat won't listen to me. Well, I've never met a cat that would. That's why I got a dog. All right. So God loves you, doesn't he? Jesus loves you. He died for you. That proved that he loves you. Amen. Be encouraged. Be comforting people. And just spend some time enjoying the love of God in your life. Father, we thank you so much that we are here to glorify you and to be a comfort to other Christians, Lord. We know that it's very discouraging sometimes living in this world, a world that's not a world that doesn't have a lot of love for us, Lord. But we thank you that our church family has love and that we're not perfect, Lord, but you love us, Jesus, and that you're in control. Even though things look really bad, Lord, you're still in control. You have a plan for this world. And we know you're even going to use Satan. We thank you for that, Lord. As our heads are bowed, as our eyes are closed, is there somebody here that would say, Pastor, I haven't been remembering that God's in control. I've forgotten he's in control. Or I haven't been thinking about Christ's love for me. Or I haven't been comforting others. I've just been complaining. I need to do more comforting and less complaining. Help me to be a comfort to people. Help me to be a comfort. How many of you would say today, Lord Jesus, help me to comfort somebody this week, another believer, just to be kind, to be a blessing to another believer, to pray for them, to say encouraging words. Say, Lord Jesus, help me this week, and thank you for your comfort. In your name I pray. Amen.